That's music from Hannah Georges. We're exactly halfway through the 11 o'clock hour, and welcome KXFM. If you don't know about them, Saving Ocean Wildlife is a nonprofit whose mission is creating ocean partnerships to protect wildlife. And joining us from Saving Ocean Wildlife, we have Dan Pingaro and Laura Cassa this morning with us. Thank you for coming in today, you guys. How are you today?
Thank you, Ed, for having us on the show this morning. We're thrilled to be here.
Thanks so much, Ed. We're really happy to be with you and all your listeners today.
We are thrilled to have you, and we're thrilled to learn more about Saving Ocean Wildlife. Of course, Laguna Beach is into it. You know we're into it off the bat. tell us a little bit about the organization. What's the mission here? What are you planning to do?
Yeah, our mission is creating ocean partnerships to protect wildlife. And from that flows our core programs. But first, I want to back up and say thanks to KX93.5 for having us on this morning. You guys have been such a core staple in the community, and it's been so much fun listening to you. And we also want to thank our really close partners, the Ocean Foundation, who's helping us make this happen. They are working on every continent on ocean issues, and we're proud to be associated with them. And thanks to our volunteers. And of course, you're going to love this one, Ed.
Okay.
That Sang, great band, allowing us to use their music for our music videos, which has just been fabulous. So all of that are our initial partnerships coming together, like we talked about. So we're creating ocean partnerships to protect wildlife.
Now, not just That Sang, a great set of musicians letting you use their music, but National Geographic is also in on this, right?
Yeah, they actually did our promo video. We met this wonderful guy who actually does videos in Antarctica and other places for National Geographic, and he offered to do our video. So you can check out our promo video on our Facebook page. So we've been really lucky. It's just Dan and I starting this organization. We've had all these wonderful volunteers and folks willing to get involved. So we're really excited about the potential for the organization.
Okay. Now, once you have your partners in place, once the partnership is in place, what are the first things you're expecting to be doing?
Well, thanks, Ed, for asking. We've already gotten out there and started. Maybe you heard about this, but there was a beluga whale that was spotted off of San Diego a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And when we heard about this, obviously this is the first time this has happened in history. Beluga whales are supposed to be in the Arctic, or at least in Alaska. That's right. The closest place. So this whale was on its own, 2,500 miles away from any of its friends and family. And so Dan and I were able to get out on a boat just over 4th of July weekend to go look for it, because we, as others who were looking for it, were concerned that maybe it was injured or maybe it was confused. Why is it here so far from home? So we got out there and we didn't find it.
Okay.
It's a big ocean out there, which is what I really realized. And I thought, you know, what we need is eyes on the ocean. We need the community to be involved to help us understand what's going on with the animals out there. So our goal and one of our first programs is going to be, and we're going to start this very quickly, getting folks when they're out there on the ocean, or even when they're at the beach or when they're surfing. If you're seeing animals, let us know through our website. Let us know through our Facebook page, because we want to understand what's going on with them. And if there's an injured animal or a dead animal, we want to get that information to the right agencies who are doing great work to help those animals too.
Right. Now, I understand that sometimes large mammals especially can get a virus, and that virus causes problems with their directional abilities. And if you'd have been able to catch up to the whale, what kind of things would you have been able to do?
So, Ed, I'd probably just be so excited. I'd be sitting there taking videos so I could show it to my niece and nephew who love beluga whales. What we do is we work very closely with NOAA.
Okay.
And NOAA is responsible for the animals. They're the federal agency that is responsible for managing the animals. And we have a close relationship with them. And I'll let Dan speak about that and why we would be going out and looking for animals and asking people to report on that.
Okay.
So we've created partnerships and relationships both with federal and state agencies, Ed.
Okay.
And one of the things we're working closely on is creating a digital data form so people, whether they're on land or sea or like us out on the ocean, can help track where the animals are and where they're moving, and then report it digitally back into a database that NOAA can access, researchers can access, even commercial users can access. So it allows people in near real time to understand where the animals are, what they are doing. And that form is going to be online later this week. Ideally, by this afternoon, we'll have it up on our social media. And from there, we're going to put it on our website, which will be going live in the coming days. So really excited to have people be able to contribute citizen science in a meaningful way that will inform policy decisions, commercial fishery decisions, as well as research and understanding of these animals.
Excellent. Now, together with your partners, do you see yourselves eventually becoming sort of a political arm and kind of lobbying for our causes here as far as protecting ocean wildlife?
So I would say to that, Ed, we're not going to become a political party at all. We see this as this really crosses all anybody's backgrounds, whether it's political or ethnic or anything.
Right.
We see that we would be educating the public on what's impacting the health of these animals, and we would ask for the public support to advocate. So I see advocacy as yes, it is going to be the community saying, hey, we're worried about the gray whales that swim by here and get entangled in fishing line, or there was a baby gray whale that washed up dead here in San Clemente in March. We're concerned about this. We want to know what's going on with these animals, and we're asking for policy change. So in that regard, yeah, I think Dan and I are going to have an active role in talking to our contacts at the state level, at the federal level, to say, hey, look, our communities want the health of the animals to be made a priority, and we need policy to change.
Excellent. And Ed,
yes.
While we think Laguna Beach and the environs are a beautiful community, I spent a few years living in Laguna, we are looking for a large community. We have reached out to federally recognized tribes, as well as federal state agencies and partnerships with other nonprofits up and down the state and even across borders into Canada and Mexico to really create a community with, as Laura said moments ago, eyes on the ocean to really understand what is happening here. Right. So it's an opportunity for people to get involved and actively make a difference.
I'm loving this. So you mentioned the gray whales getting caught in fishing nets. Aside from that, what do you see as some of the biggest dangers to ocean wildlife here in the Southern California waters?
So that's a great question. And most people know the gray whales because they're born down in Baja. Many of our listeners maybe have gone down there to watch the calves being born, which is an amazing thing to have happen right there in Mexico. And then after they're a couple months old, they start swimming up the coast to migrate up into Alaska or the Bering, up by the Bering Sea to eat. And then they swim all the way back. They do this. We know that they do this. When that baby gray whale was washed up here dead on the shore, Dan and I got to go to watch the whale be cut up because it's important for science to find out why did this baby gray whale die. The baby was maybe a month to 2 months old at most. And when the whale was basically cut open, it was found that the blubber, that layer of fat that's supposed to be keeping that baby warm, was so thin. It was maybe an inch thick. It should have been much thicker. And what that means is that baby wasn't even getting food. Why? We don't know. And that's the mystery. And for a year now, over a year, gray whales have been part of an unusual mortality event, which means that gray whales are dying in large numbers, and we don't know why. And so we want to find out, where are people seeing these whales when they're out on their boats? Can they see that they're in danger? Can they see that they've gotten caught in nets as they're navigating their way? Thousands of miles they're making this trip, and they've got to avoid ships. Some of them get hit by ships. Some of them get entangled in fishing gear. Some don't find enough food. But they can't talk to us and tell us what their problems are. So we are trying to observe. And we have great scientists out there doing research. But I know that there are a lot of people who have boats, and there are a lot of people who spend time on the beach, and there are people that can sight these gray whales just from land. And if they can tell us what they're seeing, it'll help us form the story that we can then tell the government, here's what's going on. What changes do we need to make so that these animals can just live their lives? They're just trying to get out there and eat and have their babies, and right, just like we as humans are, right? They're just trying to do their thing, and we're getting in the way. We need to understand how we're getting in the way so we can live and coexist with these animals.
That makes great sense. Now, in a few years, let's say 3 years down the road, and after having gotten your partners together, where do you see this in a few years?
Yep, that's a great question, and we actually see ourselves growing into As we already spoke about, we have international partnerships that we're developing, and we are already speaking with potential partners across the Atlantic and in other locations. So we feel it would be an international organization focused on ocean wildlife. Our home base here in Southern California, we're being very cautious on how we grow and very financially frugal. We are not putting any money towards bricks and mortar. It's all online. It's an online social community here on the beach and out on the ocean. And we're connecting with like-minded organizations and individuals from Italy to Mexico and up to Canada. And so we feel like we will have a big impact. In fact, just this morning, I received an email from England about a data collection organization that really works with the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. And they were asking us about our interest in providing data to them to help inform international decision making. So while we are small, we're punching above our weight, and we see ourselves 3 years from now being an international organization. And we'd love to come back and continue to give you updates about what's happening. And hopefully your listeners would like to come out on the water, look for some of the animals, as well as spot them from land as well.
Well, I think the answer is there. Yes, yes, and yes. Definitely would love to have you back and have regular updates. How do our listeners get in touch with you if they want to help?
So, Ed, thank you for asking. Facebook is the best way to get in touch with us right now. As Dan mentioned, we're building our website, but because the website we're trying to make even more robust, so there's a way people can report. If you see an injured animal on the beach, we want our website to be the way that people can go right to and know who to call. Okay. So we're building that. Again, it's just me and Dan trying to put things together here, so it's going to take a little bit of time. But right now our Facebook page is up, and we know everyone's on Facebook, right? So right. The best thing you can do is go to Facebook and like our page. Or if you're doing something that's great for the ocean that you want to share, like you've switched to using a Brita filter instead of using single-use plastic bottles of water, post that on your Facebook page and tag Saving Ocean Wildlife and help spread the message that everybody can use their power to make a difference for the ocean and for the wildlife that lives there. So again, we're Saving Ocean Wildlife on Facebook. You can certainly find us. And then that will have the link to our website. We do have a link to the Ocean Foundation website, which has a project page, and people can certainly donate through that link if they'd like to support the organization.
Okay.
And our website page will be savingoceanwildlife.org, which will be coming live soon. So you can look for that. Facebook, we have an Instagram page coming up, and we'll soon be posting those music videos to our YouTube page as well. That'll be showcasing what we do with the music of Sat Sang. So, and then Ocean Foundation has our project as well on their website.
Fantastic. You're doing great work. I do look forward to having you back on and discussing again where we are in a couple of months here. Dan Pingaro and Laura Casa, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much, Ed. And thanks to all of you listening.
And
thank you all very much.
Thank you for the work you're going to do.
Thank you.
Wonderful. We'll see you soon. Can't wait to come back.
We'll talk to you. KXFM 1143.